39, but not so. Be with us as we go through this service and everything we do, be according to thy will. And in Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Birthdays. Your birthday's over.
I want to just remind you of the memorial service tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the National Cemetery. Some of our folks are involved in that, and I hope maybe some of our folks will want to attend that too. Your prayer list is fairly well up to date. I do have one addition. Roy Durham, who was injured in a lawnmower accident, has passed away. And Roy and Connie Williams have been up and down this week. But they're at present time, they're doing okay. But there's always something happening with them, and we need to keep them in your prayers.
We have a card for us too. A card for
Roy and Connie Williams, just to let them know we're praying for them. And we have a graduate with us this morning, Mr. Cole Barnes, and we've had a couple of others graduate in recent days. Andy Claggett, I get Andy and Allie mixed up. Andy Claggett graduated from aestheticist training, and also one of Greg Teeter's girls also did. I think it was Ashley.
No, I think it was Lexi graduated.
Well, Lexi did, yes. Mm-hmm. But okay. Well, that covers, I think, the announcements that we have to make. And I was thinking back to 1996. Way back there, Carmela LaSpada. Carmela was a longtime advocate for veterans and was talking to a group of children visiting Washington, D.C. And LaSpada said, "I told them, you know, Memorial Day is next Monday. Do you know what the meaning of Memorial Day is? Do you know what it's all about?" And the youngsters looked at one another, and then almost in unison, they turned around and said, "Oh, that's the day the swimming pool's open." She realized that adults also lose sight of the meaning of some of our holidays. The true purpose of Memorial Day is to honor those who've lost their lives in serving our country. So she asked the United States Congress to do something, and I wasn't even aware of this. She asked the United States Congress to establish a national moment of remembrance, and they did. Was to be take effect in 1997. People are encouraged to stop whatever they're doing on Memorial Day for 1 minute of reflection at 3 o'clock p.m. NASCAR has its drivers pull over, they tell me, at 3 o'clock. Fans stand up and flags are lowered to half-mast, and Major League Baseball pauses their games. Some trains even blow their whistles. But for many, it's a more private moment. But it's a moment to remember those who gave their lives in defense of our nation. In a sense, every day, or every Lord's Day, is a memorial day for the followers of Christ. Because he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we try to remember faithfully what our Savior has done for us when he gave his life.
Father, we thank you for allowing us to make it another week and to be able to be here in this church this morning. We realize that this is a week that we celebrate Memorial Day. It's if we remember these people that gave their lives for us to have freedom and to live in a free country. We recognize those people, Lord, and we want to thank you for their sacrifice. And we also want to thank you for your son Jesus and his sacrifice for us to have freedom from sin, and to be able to have a chance for eternal life if we just believe your word and try to live by the rules that you have set for us. And we partake of these emblems, which represents Jesus' blood and body that he gave for us to have that opportunity. And we are grateful. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you. thank you for this day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, with both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can certainly add, that was Gail?
Gail
Peter. You can certainly add Gail to the prayer list then, by all means. Let's join in singing, first of all, hymn number 485, one that will be familiar to you, I think.
Thank you.
right across the page is our next song, My Country 'Tis of Thee. Both those songs, because they are both prayers directed to God for our nation. Yeah. Let's turn to number 532 for our prayer hymn this morning and sing just the first verse as we stand together for prayer. Heavenly Father, you know all there is to know about sacrifice, about giving up something, even one's life, to benefit someone else. On this weekend, when we honor those whose lives have been given to protect the liberties and the way of life that we enjoy in this nation, help us to see the preciousness of life. Most of us have had some loved one among those who gave up their lives to keep our country free. And each of us, in our own way, feel deep gratitude toward them. Help us to pay proper honor to them, especially at this designated time. But Lord, help us always never to forget our Savior Jesus, who willingly and deliberately left the glory of heaven and came among us for the sole purpose of freeing us from the bondage of sin and death. and who indeed bore the guilt of our sins and died in our place. Thank you, Father, that He is alive forevermore. Thank you that He invites us to share endless life at His expense. We offer this prayer in His name, then, Jesus the Savior, for it's only through Him that we reach you. Amen. A few verses of Scripture from the fourth chapter of Joshua I'd like to read to you, because this is, the narrative is at the point where they have just crossed the Jordan River and entered into the Promised Land. It's a happy, victorious time. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." That's a strange kind of memorial, isn't it? Just a stack of 12 large stones stacked up. They'd been taken out of the Jordan River when Joshua and the Hebrews had crossed the river, because God had dried up the river so His people could enter the Promised Land, just as He had divided the Red Sea when they escaped from Egypt. So Joshua was instructed to leave this stack of stones as a memorial. And when children who were yet to be born would ask their parents later on, "What do these stones mean?" they would be told of the mighty acts of God and encouraged to worship Him forever. That's a solemn memorial of how prone people were back in those days to forget things. And that hasn't changed much in this year. Occasionally our memories have to be prompted, don't they? Now, we could tell lots of stories about that. But it's quite obvious from the Bible that remembering is something which is important to the Lord and sometimes difficult for us. He understands that we're prone to be forgetful. That's why Jesus asked that we remember Him with emblems of the body and blood that He sacrificed for us. He didn't want us ever to forget what He had done for us. It's interesting to notice that the words remember and remembrance and memorial are found in the Bible more than 230 times. God used that word a lot. And tomorrow, of course, is Memorial Day, set aside to remember those who've lost their lives in the cause of freedom. And as many of you already know, I'm sure, Memorial Day first was called Decoration Day because of the custom of decorating the graves of those who'd given their lives for the country. It is a fitting time to remember sacrifice that our servicemen and women have given. Actually, we remember them on the 4th of July, too. And we remember them on Veterans Day in November, although that's for those who have survived rather than those who have died. But I think it's fitting that we have multiple observances throughout the year, because it can keep us mindful of the fact that it's people, in many cases, people like you and me, who've gone to the battlefields and the skies and the oceans to serve and protect our freedoms. So this morning, as we look at the subject of remembering, I'd just like to suggest three things that we ought to remember. And the first one, of course, is the soldiers who died for our freedom. John F. Kennedy once said, "Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty." Jesus spoke timeless words when he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." It wasn't always done for their friends, many times done for people they didn't even know. But in the wars our nation has engaged in, more than 1 million Americans have died. Every one of them loved by somebody. And every one of these men and women paid the price, the ultimate price, in defense of our freedom. We're free today, free to pray, free to worship, free to speak, free to assemble, free to vote, because of their sacrifice. These men and women are our real heroes. George Washington put it well. He said, "The willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, how willing will they be to serve in a war? Will be in direct proportion as to how they perceive the veterans of earlier wars were treated and appreciated by their nation." If we treat our service people with honor and dignity, they might be more willing to fight for us. And George Washington knew. But that's one thing we definitely should remember. The soldiers, sailors, Marines, Coast Guard service people, men and women, who have died for our freedom. And I just recommend, if you have the ability tomorrow to attend that memorial service at the National Cemetery, I would recommend it. We ought to also to remember those who have died for their faith in Christ. Now, this is not related to the Memorial Day holiday, but it's something we ought to be reminded of. We're so spoiled in America. We take so many things for granted. The marvelous liberties that we have. Millions of people do not enjoy the liberties that we have so easily. And I think it's important that we remember our brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer. They're members of the body of Christ, just as we are. We need to remember those who suffer for their faith in Christ. I think we're prone to forget the courageous Christians of the past whose labors and whose sacrifices make it possible for us to be here today worshiping. Now, we don't worship people, but it's certainly right to honor them for their faithfulness. And I don't know who estimated this, but it's been estimated that some 43 million Christians have been killed for their faith since the crucifixion of Christ. 43 million. But 26 million of those, 60% of those, have occurred in the last 100 years, which is kind of frightening. Estimates are that there's an average of 150 to 165,000 Christians who lose their lives every year for their faith. So it's not just something that happened, it's something that happens now. And there are some 200 million Christians worldwide who live under the threat of persecution. Many places in this world are not friendly to the gospel. Since 1983, for example, 2 million Christians have been killed by Muslims in the Sudan. Now, these are radical, extremist, militant Muslims. Churches are regularly burned, along with their Bibles and their hymn books. Ministers have been murdered while government soldiers look on. Christians have been crucified. You know, perhaps Christians should have a Memorial Day for those who give their lives out of loyalty to Jesus Christ. We need to remember them. And the other thing we should remember is how to appreciate our freedoms. I hope you won't hold it against me if I tell you I think this is the greatest country in the world. It's full of flaws, and we're good at picking them out. But I'd love it if we gave more room in the nation for the Lord to be mentioned and talked about. There seems to be a growing number of areas, government included, where the name of God or Jesus is not to be heard. But in spite of the shortcomings that our nation has, I still think it's the best one around. I may be a little prejudiced, but some of you might agree with me. Part of what makes this country so great is the freedoms that we enjoy. And that's what we appreciate that these veterans have done for us, is preserving those freedoms. We have freedom of speech. We can say anything we want to, any kind of opinion about the government, without going to jail. And we do. We can protest the policies of our government, or even of our military. The same military that's dying to protect our freedom right now. In this country, you can make fun of the government. If you remember, a few years back, there was a fellow named Salman Rushdie who poked fun at the Prophet Muhammad, and he has been living under a death threat ever since. But in this country, you can make fun of the government. Instead of going to jail, you might get paid by your publisher or your TV network. We get to participate in a democratic republic that allows its citizens to vote at every level of government. Not everyone has that privilege. We can travel anywhere in the country without having to have a passport or permission from someone. My wife and I were fortunate enough to visit Europe about 100 years ago, and European countries generally are small, as we rode the trains from one country and passed into another, every time we crossed the border, the train stopped, border guards got on, looked at all your papers and your passports and make sure you're allowed to enter that country. Doesn't happen here. You can go to see the big blue sky of Montana. Never anybody will ask you, why are you going there? We have freedom to work in whatever occupation we choose. At least until the boss gets fed up with us. We can own a business, or we can work for someone else. We can own a car, a boat, a house, or several of all three of those, depending on our income, because we live in a country that doesn't put limits on how much we can make or how much we can spend. We can own guns for defense, or to provide food, or for sport. And I know there are a lot of people who want to take that right away. It's still there. And I think it'd be good for people to remember that the birth of our country, the Revolutionary War, is due in large part to private citizens using their own squirrel rifles to defeat King George and his redcoats. And of course, we have freedom of religion. You and I gather here today, not worried about anybody interrupting or troubling us. We can publish our service times. We can publish our sermons on Facebook. We can open Bibles and speak freely about Jesus and sing songs to Him or about Him. You can own a Bible. I'll bet there are a lot of homes in this congregation today that have more than one Bible. On that subject, let me ask you something. When was the last time you thanked God specifically that you have that kind of access to the Scriptures? When was the last time you reflected on the fact that it may have cost a serviceman his life for you to have that freedom? In fact, it costs a lot of lives for you to have a Bible in the English language, because there, so that you could read it yourself. There was a time when the church fiercely opposed allowing the Scriptures to be translated into any language other than Latin, into a language that common people could read for themselves. But we have that freedom. We can set up websites that express our religious views without danger of being arrested. I can say anything from this pulpit I want to regarding the Scriptures and how to live for Christ. We can put bumper stickers on our cars to tell about our faith. We can write letters to the editor that express religious convictions. We even have the freedom to be stupid in how we express our opinions. And sometimes that's what happens. Folks, we enjoy freedoms in this country because of the sacrifice of people who didn't just talk about being willing to die, but who actually did it. Let me share a little story with you. If you had visited an old broken pier on the eastern coast of Florida on any Friday night prior to 1973, you would have seen an unusual sight. You would have seen an old man, slightly stooped, probably looked a lot like me, walking slowly along the beach carrying a bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man and he would feed them shrimp from his buckets. Why did the man, why did he do this? Well, he was remembering, you see, because many years before, in October 1942, this man, whose name was Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. However, his mission was tragically interrupted when his plane crashed into the Pacific Ocean. For almost a month, Rickenbacker and the other survivors lived on life rafts, almost a month in the Pacific Ocean. They endured the sun, the storms, the sharks, but the biggest problem they had was starvation, because after 8 days, their rations were gone. And the largest of these life rafts, incidentally, was 5 feet by 9 feet. Well, they had a worship service. The captain of the plane, William Cherry, led this worship service and offered, at the conclusion, offered a prayer that they would be delivered and a hymn of praise. After this, Eddie Rickenbacker pulled his hat down over his eyes and he dozed off to sleep. What else was there to do? And then, in his words, he said, "Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew it, but I knew. Everyone else knew as well, because no one moved and no one said a word." Rickenbacker moved his hand slowly, and the seagull remained sitting on his hat. But the seagull became a miracle from God. They ate the seagull. His innards were used for bait to catch fish. And the survivors were sustained with the fish they caught, and their hopes were renewed because that one seagull, who was uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, had visited their raft. The men eventually were rescued, but Eddie Rickenbacker never forgot what that seagull had done for him. And so, for years after that, he would feed the seagulls on the beach. We ought to remember too. Don't ever forget Calvary. Keep your eyes, your heart, your mind focused on what Christ did on the cross for you. Because he delivered us. He delivered us from our own sins. And today, we have freedom that we are blessed with. So when you're remembering, remember those who gave their lives in military service for us. Remember those who've given their lives because of their loyalty to Jesus Christ. And remember the freedoms that we enjoy so easily because of other people. But above all, remember that everlasting life is available to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. We're going to sing hymn number 441 as our invitation hymn this morning, just the first and last verses, as we stand together.
Take my love and follow me. I hear my master.
Dear Lord, we pray you'll accept the worship we offer you today, that you'll consecrate the honor we give to our fallen heroes this weekend. You've so blessed this nation that we cannot adequately thank you with words, but only by walking in the footsteps of Jesus, who died so that we might forever be with you. And as we separate, dear Father, we pray your special care upon Gail Teeter as our hearts go out to her and pray for her healing. In Jesus' name, amen.